Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner with Blockchain Life. I have another awesome episode, and today I have my friend Ryan. He's going to introduce himself, what he does, and we're going to get into some great chats about blockchain, NFTs, crypto, all the cool things happening, the metaverse. So Ryan, what's your last name and where are you from, and what company do you represent?
Yeah, I'm Ryan Kiefer. I'm from Los Angeles, California. Been here my whole life. One of the rare ones, I suppose. And I'm the chief metaverse officer for Terra Zero.
Sweet. And what does that company do?
We do a lot of stuff. We're a full service metaverse solution, from events, land ownership, and then we also help across the board with analytics. And we're really focusing on trying to, you know, be interoperability, and some of this stuff is like, you know, proprietary and secret, so I can't talk about it quite yet, and it's not also available to look at yet, so I don't want to oversell it.
Yeah.
Because I want to share it to the world when it's ready to be shared.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I saw a few people now with the title of Chief Metaverse Officer. I think it's the coolest title. I might just give myself that title here in the next couple weeks. Seriously. I love it. What do you think it represents in the industry? Like, is it someone in the company who says, look, I see the potential and we got to get on top of it? What do you think it means?
I think it just depends on the company that's doing it. For myself, it's Terra Zero. It's really about focusing on what are the, I guess, trends moving forward and projecting those trends out from not only, you know, the metaverse going in, but also the metaverse coming out to the real world. And being able to project that. So like, we're not only focusing on, you know, in world solutions, we're also focusing on bringing the world out as well, through AR and other sorts of fun things. So, but from other brands, I think it's like figuring out ways to have their companies, you know, make sure that they're ahead of the game and thinking futuristic, and, you know, being able to one day have ads, you know, if you're wearing AR glasses, you know, walk by, and or even if you're even in your house, you know, have, you know, a Snickers ad run or whatever, while you, because you can have it on your TV with you versus having to be in front of the TV. And it's like, you don't even maybe need a TV in the future. You can just have it like in your glasses, and you move around, and, you know, that Snickers ad or whatever follows you. And you don't take like your eyes off of that or whatever from the time you're getting your snack or whatever. So things like that. So there's obviously a million other applications, but from like a brand perspective, I think the marketing and ads is like massive potential.
Yes. Oh, I like that. I mean, one is the Snickers pop-up. Do you think someday that, I don't know, your assistant in your glasses will even say, do you want a Snickers? I'll ship it to you. I'll, you know, we'll drop one.
Have your drone drop it in for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazon was doing that not too long ago, but, yeah, I mean, Alexa does that kind of already. Like, you know, it says, hey, have you thought about buying this, or you bought this yesterday? Are you sure you don't have, you know, you bought a spoon? Are you sure you don't need a fork? Yeah. So like, I think like, that's definitely coming down the pipeline very quickly, where the second you look at something for a certain amount of time or you engage with it, that instant gratification sale function will probably also be put into as well, or you'll be asked if you actually want it or not. I'm hoping there'll be some like safety rails for that as well going forward, because, you know, between children and also, you know, worse decisions are sometimes made when people are drinking or something like that. So you can turn on, hey, I have a drink a little bit too much, don't let me buy anything or something like that. But yeah. We'll
That's see what interesting. Happens. Wow. So you mentioned marketing. I just spent an hour with my people on a private chat, and they're fantastic people. they're just now onboarding onto the concept of the metaverse. I sensed in my people some fear with some of them, where it's like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, you know, you really can start questioning utility of humans. You can start saying like, well, gee, you know, will people even want to not be in the metaverse? Will people just like, I think there's this fear among some people. And I was trying to show the opportunity and the optimism, and some of them got it at the end. They're like, oh, wow, I can take my book and turn it into an experience. But do you see some of the older generation or even younger generation that they're scared?
I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is that, so some of the people at Terra Zero are, you know, more experienced, a little bit older than me. And they're like, hey, we don't play video games. Like, so why should we be like, play to earn is going to be a really big thing. Was part of the ecosystem for, I think, metaverse gaming and stuff and gaming in general in the future.
What, play to earn? Explain that.
So basically you're going to be playing the game and you're going to be earning either native token, skins, weapons, whatever the game is. Like, there's a new one coming out that's like all about pets. So like, you can get, you know, pet things for your pets and you earn them while you play the game. But there's another ecosystem called Gala. It's Gala Games. Like, you have NFTs and certain NFTs give you certain power to earn more coin. And then that coin's actually on this, like the Coinbase and exchanges and things like that. So you can,
Gala Games. I like that. I like
that. So yeah, we, like as Terra Zero, we own some of their infrastructure nodes. And, you know, we get distributions from that. So there's ways to be earning money in the future. So, you know, when people say, hey, we don't really live in like a virtual world necessarily, like people like me have literally grown up playing video games.
Yeah.
So to me, this is like, this is something I've been waiting for to happen. Exactly. Pretty much versus like, cause imagine, you know, if your kid's playing Fortnite, instead of you paying $20 every time or whatever, now your kid's making $20 when they're playing.
Interesting.
Potentially. So that's kind of like the cool thing where it's like, hey, that advertising data that was in, you know, that racing game where, I just use Snickers because I used it before, the Snickers ad that was by there that helps out the cost game constantly, you know, that advertisement that's getting fed back into the player ecosystem where they're owning, you know, fractions of dollars or whatever, and over time now they're getting paid back for playing the game. So to me, that's something that's super interesting going forward. But I think really the real thing is going to be like our lives are getting more and more gamified. A lot of things we just don't realize it, and the metaverse like offers that full, I feel like kind of gamification element where, you know, everything can either be a challenge or fun or social, or you don't, and especially with COVID and all these other, you know, things, like you can interact with people around the world and it can have be a very, you know, it's not the same experience as like being in person, but as close to it as you possibly can. And sometimes, you know, could be even better because you can't, you know, go to space with your friends. I mean, unless you're Jeff Bezos or something like that, but and friends with him. But you can go to space and, you know, Decentraland, or you can go underwater or whatever. And there's going to be all these new worlds that are getting created, and you can have these unique experiences with your friends together that, you know, otherwise couldn't have.
Wow.
And the level of realism is obviously just going to keep scaling upward and upward as, you know, we went from 8-bit with Mario or whatever to, you know, beautifully rendered like Unreal Engine 5, where it's like, is that real? And you don't really, you don't even know anymore. So
on that point, are the big players Unity Engine and Unreal Engine? Are those the two big?
Those are the ones that I've seen. So from my understanding, Decentraland and The Sandbox, which are like the two bigger metaverses right now, they run on top of Unity. And I'm not sure who's running anything on Unreal yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure they will be very shortly.
Yeah. Wow. Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah. I'm 30.
30. Okay. So I've chatted with, you know, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds yourself. I like what you said. I wrote that down. This is something I've been waiting for. I think that's true. I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old. I never had to go to school online for a long time, you know, during a pandemic.
Yeah.
To me, it almost escalated the need for the metaverse, where it makes sense now that you have an avatar, you show up in the metaverse, your avatar needs clothes. We've always been into branding and fashion as a human species. Now you're paying for certain NFTs that are, you know, tricked out or the fashion that you want. Talk more about, spell your company's name and the website again.
Yeah, Terra Zero, so TerraZero, .com.
TerraZero.com. Does that mean anything necessarily, or is just...
It's like, you know, ground zero. So it's basically like, this is the start of, like, you know, Web3,
yeah,
the new world, kind of in the way we, you know, want to see it, where it's less about gaining data on individuals themselves and, you know, kind of, I guess, more of like the Facebook current model, and having it more be about behavioral analysis a little bit more, and people owning their own data and having things be private if they want to be private. And if they want to be an anonymous address, they can be an anonymous address. You know, we're not tracking IP addresses back to the user or whatever. It's just like, this is your wallet address. Whatever you make public on there, you make public on there. What you don't want to be public on there, it doesn't have to be public on there. So, like, that's going to be the interesting thing with, you know, Facebook going forward, and I guess Meta at this point, and you know, their whole division, which has been really helpful for the metaverse, like, boom in general. But it's also interesting to see what's going to happen with what they're going to be doing, because, you know, it's going to be, you know, Ryan Kiefer, who has X, this number of friends, and all their friends are related to these people, and you have their VR headset on. It's like, oh, their eyes were tracked at this for this long. Their pupils, you know, got bigger at this point in time, and when they were reacted to this. So, I mean, like, that's the kind of stuff that, like, people, I guess, probably aren't thinking about, but, like, I think about all the time, and it's kind of, you know, interesting / scary to me, that knowing that, like, someone could literally be like, that's like a biometric, literally a biometric reaction that they can be clocking that's tied to you personally. So I personally want to keep user data more private, and, you know, Europe's doing a better job with that than the US is at this point in time, but hopefully we catch up, because I think your own data should be well protected against, you know, not used to be served against you, essentially.
Yeah.
Or there's other companies that will get the data and then try to hold it over your head and say, you have to buy this, buy your own data back from us, so we don't release it, you know, sort of a thing, which I've heard happen from major tech companies. So it's a kind of crazy world that I want to stop from happening, because I feel like nothing good can really come of it other than profit. And, like, there's plenty of other ways to make profit.
Wow, man. Give us a average day in the life of your company or you.
So, average day, nothing is the same at any point in time. You know, we're a small company, but not that small. We have like 10 to 15 people right now. We're constantly growing. But it just depends on the project we're focusing on. Which, once again, I wish I could talk more about, but, like, let's say, like, we're planning an event in the next couple of weeks. So we're all hands on deck on that. We have like 2 or 3 like tech projects we're building out. Then there's just general meetings, and there's, you know, making sure security measures are taken for different things to make sure everyone's data is, you know, private once again, and like everybody's NFTs are secure, or just making, we're just trying to future proof things constantly. We're also building the technology at this point for the metaverse, because it's not built yet. So it's like, we have like these Web2, you know, ideas that haven't been implemented into the Web3 world, because one, it's new, and two, it's just kind of, there's not as many people in it that are doing it. So it's kind of like, you know, creating an industry. So our days are very unique and different, and we don't focus on one specific thing. which I think is like a really great value proposition for us, is we're just not land people, which we think is a really good investment. And
Yeah.
digital land is a smart thing to be owning, but that's not the only thing, you know, we're trying to do.
All right. I got a couple practical questions. Let's say I have some friends or clients that say, we want to try out this metaverse thing. How can we have our next meeting instead of being on Zoom? It's in the metaverse. Is there a platform or a software that you would, I know you can just like jump into Decentraland as an avatar, but is there an alternative to Zoom in the metaverse?
Not quite yet. I've seen a product called Villa that's looks like,
Villa.
yeah, something like that.
Okay.
It looks like you can kind of like create an office space, and it's like very VR focused.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if people want to be in VR
Gotcha.
during a business meeting. I personally like, so this is where some people have differentiating opinions on it. I do think that there's a huge value of having an office space in the metaverse. It's just what you're utilizing it for. I don't necessarily think having a normal, like, day-to-day Zoom meeting is necessarily the ne necessity to be doing it, especially like since it's so early at this point. But I think there's ways to be using the metaverse space where it's like, hey, you want like a really big conference where it's like, you know, 10,000 people or something like that, and you want to all be together, but it's just like too difficult to do in person, or a Zoom meeting with 10,000 people. It's like, hey, turn off your microphone, or hey, you know, shut up over there, or you know, doing it in Decentraland or another metaverse could be, you know, really beneficial because you can, everyone can load in, it'll scatter people across different servers, but you can, you know, put you can play the same video going across the whole thing, and then people can like be running around, jumping, you know, actually seeing the other people instead of, you know, the black box that, you know, isn't there. You can actually say like, oh wow, there's like literally 10,000 people here or whatever, or how many people will get sh actually get shown when the scene, when it's loaded, probably
Wow.
closer to 100 or something like that. But like having that, like more, I don't know, it's like a less flat, I would say, like visually flat interaction is a very different. And like a lot of my friends I made like, you know, through the metaverse, and then we've met later through Zoom and then in person and stuff like that. So we really developed these friendships like in the 3D space before we then, you know, kind of went, I guess, backwards, I guess,
Sure.
from then to Zoom and then to in person. So, but that's been happening for years with like World of Warcraft and all these other Call of Duty and all these other video games that people have been playing online forever. So this is just, to me, the next evolutionary step. And like games are starting to build in these social platforms into their games as well. And I think like Zoom out again, it's going to be like, hey, put your game into our platform. People can still pay for it, but now you walk into the NBA 2K world or whatever, and then all of your friends are playing there. It's like, oh, you want to walk into the Call of Duty area? Now you can walk into the Call of Duty area. So I think game publishers will probably start doing that pretty soon too. And obviously, they have the background to do it.
And you called it interoperability.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, so some of my people, they're just catching these terms, but it's where essentially you don't have just Mario Kart and Call of Duty. You have the ability to purchase an NFT, use it in that game, and it has some kind of crossover utility, if
Yeah,
not
so
the
like,
exact same.
yeah, like if you want Mario shoes in your Nintendo game, but you could also have those Mario shoes in your Madden, like the cleats or whatever will be like that. Also, interoperability could mean cross-chain across different metaverses as well. It's a similar thing where it's like, hey, I'm on the Solana blockchain over on this metaverse, but I want to take my character from there and move him to the Decentraland version, but still take all my clothing or my, you know, whatever makes me me, bring that over here. So now it's like, although you look like different potentially because of the modeling and the how the game looks aesthetic wise, you're still being able to port and move and inter, you know, intermingle essentially at all these different places where it's like if you're at a mall, you know, you could go to that store, buy shoes, go to and then wear those shoes into the next store. But like right now, it's like there's that store and there's this store and they don't touch.
Wow.
So that's kind of one of the things that I think is going to be really important over the next, even like a couple years.
What else do you see, you know, as much as you can share, what else do you see as maybe challenges or, I don't know, goals that we're going to see in the next few years?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is going to be just that onboarding process and just simplifying it, making it so it's like, hey, getting a wallet. I think that's the hardest first step in people understanding what a wallet is and what it does and the functionality of it. It's pretty easy to get. I think it's just a matter of like getting people across that little small barrier, which I think will be very easy once like some metaverses and some other platforms do this, where you just sign into an account and like put like a wallet under your address that you don't really even know is a wallet if you're like an average user, sort of a thing. But that's one of the big challenges. And then it's just like building the tools necessary to make the UI experiences in these different platforms as easy as possible, where you don't need to be a coder, you don't need to be a modeler, you don't need to be able to make 3D assets to, you know, participate really.
What's in, UI? Like,
user interface.
Nice.
So, and then also UX would be like the user experience. So like, you know, let's say you wanted to throw in if you have a parcel on Decentraland, you own it, but then there's a builder tool, which is like, okay. But then there's like, if you really want to like model something crazy, you need to be a 3D modeler. And then, so, oh, do I have to hire somebody for that or not? But like, so a lot of people can't afford that because they just spent, you know, their $15,000 or $20,000 on that single parcel in Decentraland. Now they have to spend another $10,000 to $15,000 hiring the construction worker. Then they have to find or hire the SDK guy to make it functional. And then anytime they want to change something, they have to hire a guy to do that too. So it's basically like making those tools where it makes things like super easy for people who are just the average person to be like, I want my chair to go here, I want my screen to go there, I want, you know, this here, and then like that's it. So it's
right,
like just making
right now it's very clunky, very slow, very expensive.
Depending on which metaverse you're in, potentially, yes.
But then just like anything, as that new metaverse exists for months or years, it's gonna be like boom, boom, boom. Is there any advantage of being an early adopter?
It's all a lot cheaper to get in, usually. And being an early adopter can literally mean you were there on launch day, and then the next month that thing just 12x or whatever, you know, but in between that time that it launched and that day you bought it.
So depending good risk, bad risk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, do your own research, see who's the team behind it, what have they done before, can they actually secure money? Or are they just some anonymous guys that you have no idea who they are that could just, you know, pull the plug at any minute? So that's a lot of the factors of it that are, you know, scary, but I guess it's the same thing with stocks or anything. You have to make sure you invest wisely. I mean, the thing with this is like, obviously it's a new technology, but you know, people invest in startups all the time. So it's essentially investing in a startup. And like, you know, you're buying a very small equity piece essentially for yourself that, you know, normally you probably couldn't afford or wouldn't be able to participate in a round of or whatever, in like an early like raise. So that's kind of how I look at things like that. And then it just, hopefully it works out. And if it doesn't, you know, don't invest more than you could have.
Yeah.
But then things could also blow up very quickly.
So if I hired you or your company, what would I be hiring you for? Buying land, I heard, is one thing.
Yeah, so we can consult on land, making sure that you're getting what you actually want, what good location, things like that, going in game. We also can model the whole thing, put it all together. We have a full studio. We have events. We're building an analytics engine, so you can actually know who was on your land. Like not by like person name, but by wallet address, how long they were there for, you know, certain interactions. Hey, if you have a painting up there, how many times did someone look at the painting? How long did they look at the painting for? Did they click on it to see more information? Stuff like that. So those are all really important things that we're going to be offering next, like probably a week or two, I would think. And then maybe a little bit longer, but doubtful. And then what else could we be doing? I can't say the other stuff,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
that's all right. I get the events and all that. So have you seen people win big? And I don't mean just money. Maybe it's money, maybe it's impact, maybe it's influence. But have you seen people win big, and have you seen other people lose big?
I've seen a lot of my friends win very, very, very big. I
With
know
crypto specifically, or NFTs, or what?
NFT, well, all of them. I've seen people make millions. I've seen people lose some money. It's really one of those things where it's like you have to find out the thing very early. You have to figure out, is it what, like I invested into Gallo very, very early and pumped like in 7x or something like that, and like I
Gala
come back,
games. Is that what you
yeah. And then
said?
it, yeah. And then it came down a little bit, but like you know, I'm still up quite a bit of money. So it's just really about finding the infrastructure of who you're just constantly reading, constantly looking into things. And a lot of these things will fail, you know, that's just the reality of it. But that's why you diversify and don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially with you know, upcoming technologies and. Go for the blue chip things that, you know, have been up and running for a while or that seem to be worth it. You know, Decentraland is one of them. They've been around for a while. They're up and running. They're doing stuff. There's some Solana metaverses that are starting to pop up as well that are looking pretty good. Like Portals and Solas. They're not quite up and running yet, but like they have roadmaps that are pretty clear. And once again, not financial advice in any way, shape, or form here. But these are just like, you know, you just find out about these random products on Discord, a press release that comes out here or there, and you just gotta look and see who the team is, and kind of just you gotta get that gut feeling where it's like, eh. There's been plenty and plenty and plenty of times where I just did not pull the trigger on stuff, and I regretted it immediately. And there's plenty of times where I did pull the trigger, and it was a bad decision, or you know, but never. Lose too much. And then there's been other times where I didn't buy into that project and it was complete rug pull. So you win some, you lose some. I have a couple friends that are just like incredibly either lucky or very insightful that make a ton of money and know when to buy in and know when to sell out. Like
Wow, man.
and
It's
they're,
like it truly is a game.
yeah, and then there's like the whole community, I guess it's like, oh, you have to have diamond hands. Oh, you like, don't sell it, don't sell it, don't sell it. Keep holding, keep holding, keep holding. And then it's like, well, maybe for you, you know, you have the security to hold on to it. And if you lose it, whatever. But you know, a lot of people get caught up in like hype and stuff like that. Is really what I'm
Oh,
saying
that's it.
because people were like, oh, you know, this is gonna be the next Bored Ape Yacht Club, and it's like, probably not. Maybe, but probably not. So don't be afraid to, you know, sell and take a profit is basically what I'm saying. 'Cause more money, and don't be afraid to, you know, drop something, not lose the whole house on it
Yeah,
too. So.
that's good, man. Wow. Diversify. I like this. Trust your gut. Don't get into the hype. This is really good. A couple of final questions. What do you tell your friends and family you do when they ask?
Actually, funny enough, I no longer answer that question because I can't articulate it well enough, apparently. So my girlfriend is really, really good at telling people what I do, and she's like, "This is the metaverse version, so that you can understand it," kind of a thing.
Gotcha.
Because I get into more complicated than I need to, probably.
Yeah.
But generally, I say like you know, I'm more like an agency that you know helps with digital land, helps with create concerts and parties and helps with you know digital tools and analytic tools and all these different things. And then people, the first foundational piece is usually what the hell is the
Right.
metaverse? And because although it's become a buzzword, most people still probably don't know what it is yet,
They think it's just goggles or something.
or it's just become a very thrown, it's a word that's being thrown out kind of a lot that. And then it's like losing meaning potentially, I guess. So it's like oh, we're building our own metaverse. We're building our own metaverse. We're building our own metaverse. And then it's like, what is the metaverse? And it's like, at this point, like, it's like just a digital, it's like a digital interconnected digital space. But, you know, that's probably the meaning will probably shift over time until it settles in and figures out what exactly it is. But
That's good. Wow, man, this has been amazing. Do you think, as a publisher, it's wise that I'm having these chats and exploring these conversations, or do you think I'm out to lunch?
no, I think it's wise. I've spoken to one other guy who's writing a book on the metaverse. And I think it's like a really important topic. It's kind of a snapshot on like, you know, tech moving forward.
Yes.
I mean, I'm hoping, you know, obviously nobody knows, you know, I'm not saying I'm Steve Jobs or anything like that, but someone in this metaverse universe is going to be the next, you know, Steve Jobs, push everything forward, you know, advance society, hopefully for the good, not for the bad sort of way. And maybe you'll interview them. Maybe it's me, maybe it's not. I have no idea. But
I'm glad I chatted.
I just hope that, you know, everything keeps moving forward in a very positive way. And that, you know, people get to meet from people all over the world and communicate and exchange culture. And like, hopefully it helps, you know, reduce some of this like terrible hate that like has kind of been festering on other social media platforms. And I'm sure that'll find its way in, but hopefully the community is strong enough to, you know, push it out, which so far what I've experienced it has. So
That's so good.
yep.
Where can people find out more about you, or do you just want me to send people to your company, or are you
Yeah,
on?
you can go to the website terrazero.com, and then I have an Instagram, but it's not really anything special. There's also the Instagram for Terra Zero Tech. And then if anybody wants to like reach out to me directly, I guess they can contact you and then you can provide them
Sure.
my email.
Sure. Fantastic. Well, listen, Ryan, this has been truly amazing. I've written down some notes as well, and probably the thing that I'm going to quote you on forever is we've been waiting for it. That
Yeah.
was deep. That, you know, because I agree. Your generation has been waiting for it.
Yeah, well,
It's
thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you, and hopefully we talk again soon.
Take care, my friend. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.